Chapter 37. As I fell, my blue ancilla reacquired definition and control. "Apologies," she said. "I am no longer connected to the Metarchy or any other network. I cannot fully serve you."
"Never mind that," I said. "Find something to catch me."
"That has already been arranged."
I swung about and bumped into the field that held the first counselor. Our fields merged with a distinct pressure pop. Also with us in the field, Glory herself, curling up as if expecting imminent impact. A Falco-class rescue pod slid in from my left, matched our descent, and blipped open a hatchway. Grapples reached out and caught us, then yanked us clumsily inside. The interior of the Falco rearranged to accommodate 3 passengers and cushion further acceleration. Still, even in my armor, I felt sick as the tiny craft spun about and then launched into full evacuation mode. In a few minutes, we were away from the disk, the whole arrangement of slices, away from the planet itself, following an oblong orbit to observe from 1,000 kilometers out in space. The entire arrangement of the capital's disks seemed to be slowly, painfully realigning to the original sphere.
"The capital is under siege," the didact within me said.
"What is mendicant bias?" I asked, while closely watching our passage through a slow, stately rain of disabled sentinels, monitors, and uncontrolled craft, the near boundary of the planet's disabled protection.
"Better to ask where we are going."
Glory pulled herself up, then tugged upon the first counselor, who seemed stunned. Crammed together as we were, I hoped we were not in this for the long haul. I hoped there would soon be other arrangements. Still, I could not see any other Falcos, or for that matter, any other escapees from whatever chaos had embroiled the capital.
"All right," I said. "Where are we going?"
"Are you asking me?" Splendid Dust said, his face purple with dismay. "I haven't any idea what's just happened."
"The Metarchy has been disabled," Glory of a Far Dawn said. "All control has been moved to an external authority. I was instructed by my commanders to rescue at least 2 of the counselors."
Splendid Dust looked between us.
"I seem to have rescued you instead," she said to me,
deadpan.
We were now in a position to see again the great rings of the orbiting installations. They were no longer arranged linearly, but had spread out into a pentagon and a hexagon, along with another outlying ring, slowly moving to join with the pentagon. It seemed that after 43 years, the prodigal halo had returned.
"Bearing what madness? The captive itself? Overkill beyond all reason. This is utterly pointless. What is its goal?"
"Whose goal? What's goal?" The others stared at me. I was babbling to myself.
"Mendicant bias, a contender class, the first of its kind. It is as far above most ancillas as the Metarch-level systems rise above our personal components."
The axes of 5 of the installations now pointed directly at the capital world. One by one, the reoriented halos were growing slender spokes of hard light.
"What do you know about mendicant bias?" I asked the first counselor.
"Designed to coordinate control of some of the installations," he said. "Also given the power, in emergencies, to coordinate the entire galaxy's response to attack."
"Who authorized this?"
"The old council, with the input of the Master Builder."
"Mendicant Bias conducted the test at Chatham Hakor?"
"Yes."
The didact within me was stunned into silence.
The capital world's defenses were slowly cutting loose from their complete shutdown. Swift attack cruisers and other vessels were reassuming their formations in low orbit. Defensive fields lay across the surface of the capital's new-formed sphere like ghostly flags, their edges knitting together to complete a dense shield, effective against enemy ships, but useless against any single halo. And very likely, we'd end up being trapped in one of those fields. My ancilla, to my surprise, issued a code and took control of the Falco, then guided our craft away from the unfolding fields, up and away from the formations of battlecraft, and toward the halos themselves. We were not being followed.
"There will be no pursuit," my ancilla said. "We are protected by the librarian's privilege." even in an emergency? Not all protocols have been voided. The contender has caused considerable confusion in the Metarchy, however. That was apparently its plan.
Do we have any sort of plan? I asked.
We are seeking an escape route, the Ancilla replied. Apparently our duty here is finished. There is a special counselor's entrance to the capital system's dedicated portal. If the settings have not been changed, it will respond to the librarian's key and open for us.
And what if this mendicant bias has scrambled all the keys?
But I knew better. It had responded to the didact's numbers. I do not answer discouraging questions, my Ancilla said. My resources are limited. I would appreciate some optimism.
That shut me up for a moment, but my mind was still racing.
The first counselor and the warrior servant watched me closely. Glory of a Far Dawn leaned close to the counselor and said, I can't control the Falco. His Ancilla seems to be directing our movements.
Born Stellar's Ancilla? The counselor said.
At your command, I will attempt to subdue him, the warrior servant said.
How? We can barely move in here.
I have been trained.
You idiot! The counselor howled, his fear finally breaking loose. We were both shocked that such an enlightened first form would choose an ancient builder word used to put inferior rates in their place.
He's got the imprint of the didact. He's 10,000 years to your 20. She withdrew a few centimeters and regarded me soberly from under the curve of her headpiece. I did not know that, she said.
The halos were growing closer.
At our present speed, the craft might actually reach their vicinity in half an hour. Unless, of course, my Ancilla knew what she was talking about, and there was a portal somewhere out here as well. Each halo was about 30,000 kilometers in diameter, a slender ribbon tied up in a perfect circle, the outer surface acquiring detail as we grew closer, and as the sun's light angled to create deeper shadows. The inside of the nearest ribbon was strangely mottled, partly green, partly blue, but mostly bluish-silver. As well, I could now make out waves of hard light rippling around the inner surface, occasionally shooting slender spikes toward the axis, then withdrawing them, as if trying unsuccessfully to spin out the spokes of a vast wheel.
Whatever its exalted status, Mendicant Bias still cannot control all of the halos. This one is resisting preparation to fire.
What would the librarian do with her own portal, I asked. It is not solely for her use, my Ancilla replied. The portal can also be shifted to deliver large constructions.
Halos?
Halos and the Life Shaper's work are part of the same contract. The Life Shaper uses the portal to connect with the many worlds where she is gathering her specimens.
Like Erde Tyrene.
As of my last update, there are no longer portals that open to Erde Tyrene.
How can you know that?
Specimens were collected from Erde Tyrene decades before you went there.
The didact within was strangely unresponsive, perhaps mulling over the strange behavior of Mendicant Bias, or the collusion of the librarian with the Master Builder. No advice from my other wisdom? I asked out loud.
Out of respect, we may be witnessing the end of Forerunner governance.
I can't stand this. I can't stand being ignorant, held prisoner, jockeyed around the galaxy, hosting a Promethean who doesn't share even half of what he knows. Riser and Shockus would be better company. At least they'd understand my frustration.
More silence.
We were all tightly focused on the nearest halo, now less than 1,000,000 kilometers away. What are those spokes of light? I asked.
The installation seems to be adjusting to tidal forces from its proximity to the capital world. The position is not optimal for a large structure. Transport through a portal may also increase strain.
It's not getting ready to fire, is it?
The defense forces won't wait to find out. With the capital Metarchy out of action, command now splinters to individual squadrons. Each has specific instructions how to deal with potential attacks.
This is the portal, my Ancilla said, and gently nudged my gaze toward a silvery, slowly pulsing web, like a tremendous lacework constantly growing and overlapping curves and lines of hard light. Within the webwork, pits of blackness shot through with violet, kept up a rotational cycle of growth and diminishment. Our sensors indicated the webwork was closer to us than the nearest halo, about 1,000,000 kilometers. I had seen portals before, but none so large and powerful, so ornate, so full of opportunities. Each of those violet holes could open onto a different place in our galaxy. "That's where we're going?" I asked. Before my question could be answered, I saw three of the pits of darkness flow together at the center of the webwork. The entire web shimmered, and through the combined holes emerged 5 large cruisers. And right behind them, a fully activated fortress, arriving long tail first, bristling with armament. As soon as they were through, and allowing for a brief few seconds of reconciliation, during which time the ships radiated dim, expanding shells of blue, the smaller craft began to fan out to distant points, nearly all beyond the limits of my vision, except for the fortress. This was nothing like the dismal old hulk that had stood guard for so long over the Sanxiom. Sleek, clean, perhaps twice the size of the Deep Reverence, the fortress was heading directly toward the rotational axis of the nearest halo. "We should depart from this region," my Ancilla suggested. "These are forces arriving to protect the capital."
"The installations will not allow themselves to be attacked," the counselor said. "They will defend themselves. Even if they are not under the control of Mendicant Bias, there will be violent confrontations."
"I will program battle code."
My other memory was finally proving useful. The didact worked with my Ancilla, and the Falco began to broadcast protective signals. From the fortress's long tail, replete with gun mounts and weapons bays, thousands of swift attack vessels began to pour forth, fanning out, radiating to positions above the inner surface of the halo. Our sensors now picked up swarms of small and mid-sized craft emerging from the halo itself, and identified them as dedicated sentinels, used only for halo defense.
"They are controlled by the installation monitors. The monitors are programmed to assume that all who attack an installation are enemies, whatever they look like, or whatever codes they possess."
"That makes no sense," I said.
"It does if you understand the ways of the Flood."
"Then make me understand."
"There is no time."
Already in rapid succession, more cruisers were emerging from the portal, straining the webwork until it radiated a fierce reddish glow. The portal fabric began to visibly separate, hard light strands exceeding even their extraordinary tensile strengths. Clearly, these newly arrived forces were prepared to sacrifice both themselves and the portal in their haste.
"Mendicant Bias has exceeded its present ability. It can control only 5 installations out of 12. The others will maneuver to save themselves. They will attempt to access the portal."
7 of the huge rings, not including the one that had just appeared, once again rearranged their array. 1 halo from the Pentagon broke formation, sending cascades of violet energy from the drive engine spaced along its rim. It moved to join those not in the contender's control. These 7 began to align in parallel, recreating the tunnel effect. The 5 under the contender's control had completed their spoke and hub preparations.
"They're primed. They will fire. We must leave now. We must go through the portal."
The first fortress's fighters moved in, surrounding one of the primed halos and engaging its sentinels. Simultaneously, 4 cruisers sent white-hot beams to points around the targeted installation. Sentinels intercepted some of those beams, partially deflecting them, but also absorbing and sacrificing. Other beams struck home, carving canyon-like gouges across the mottled inner surface and blowing blue-white plumes of debris and plasma from the edges. The interior spokes began to shimmer and fade. The halo could not hold together against this onslaught. It bent inward, wobbled. Fascinated, I watched as huge sections of the ring twisted like ribbon, giving way to destructive nodes of resonance, then rippled in sinus waves, and separated with agonizing majesty. The entire halo was breaking apart. It would not complete its priming and firing sequence. Keeping track of the remaining 11 installations in the melee was exhausting. The other 4 primed installations, however, were successfully fending off fighters and cruisers and had fanned out to cover at least half of the capital world, as if preparing for an awful sunrise. Their spokes were now forming golden hubs. Glory of a Far Dawn pushed closer to watch with me, her hands clenched.
"I should be there," she said. "I should be protecting the capital."
An unexpected horror shook my ancilla. "The librarian specimens. So many worlds are stored on the halos, so many terrains and beings. What will happen to the fauna?"
The Life Shaper succeeded in her struggle with the Master Builder. She co-opted the installations.
I found myself again taking control of the Falco. We accelerated out of the widening zone of battle toward the portal, now a single, huge, violet radiance against the blackness of space. 3 of the 7 fleeing halos were lined up, also seeking entry. They, too, were being harried by cruisers and were now attacked by swarms from the second fortress. Sentinels from these installations mounted a vigorous defense, pushing back their attackers. The rings maintained their integrity. Before we could reach the hellishly glowing webwork with its single yawning and badly distorted portal, the first halo began its passage. For me, under the influence of the Didact's battle mode, time fragmented into several streams. I saw the movement of the installation in fast mode, but in excruciating slow motion, directed the Falco to avoid bursts of plasma energy and disintegrating swift attack vessels. Part of me seemed to fight through many lifetimes, through clouds of fighters and debris, away from ever-increasing danger. A second installation was about to follow the first through the portal, a third lined up. The portal webwork was obviously about to tear itself to pieces.
"We must leave this system before the other installations fire. We will approach the third installation and enter the portal along with it."
"Where will the portal take us?" my ancilla asked, growing even tinier as her duties were reduced.
"It does not matter. Any place other than this."
"Why would they prime and fire?" I cried. "That will kill everyone here. Disintegrate the Metarchy. Forerunners will lose their history, their heart and spirit."
"Mendicant Bias has turned against us, but I do not believe it has sufficient resources to control more than 5 installations at once. Other installations are following older instructions, priority protocols. They defend themselves, but are struggling to break free of the Contender's rule. They may reconnoiter outside our galaxy, at the beginning place, the Ark, and we must join them."